Psalm 40. Let's stand, please. Thank you for the invitation, preacher. I think the picture, the glass is still shaking. Okay, Psalm 40. I'd like to read the whole psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, or that man, that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering that didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. When I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what an encouraging meeting we've had this week, Lord, and how you've spoken to our hearts. I pray, Lord, you be with each speaker today, that we would listen to the messages that you have for us and forget the messengers. And Father, may we magnify you this morning in everything we do, that you might be pleased. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I see that David here is begging God to not withhold his tender mercies toward him. As we've heard this week, mercies have to do with God's goodness and unmerited favor and loving kindness, loving care. But the word tender or tenderness here has to do with a sentiment of a special kindness that you would find between a parent and their child. This expression is used by David 8 times and his song leader on 2 occasions in the Psalms, all of them in Psalms. And I believe David was asking his Heavenly Father to spare him, not to allow him too much pain to come his way, lest he'd be too discouraged and fail. You know, David, as we read all these Psalms where he's begging for God's tender mercies, he is overwhelmed on many occasions because God is being silent with him. There are many occasions where God just left him on his own for a purpose. And I think that we go through the same things as preachers many times, where God is not going to reveal himself always in the same manner, and he just watches us, but he'll just let us learn from what we go through. In verse 12 here, I see that David talks about the innumerable evils that have compassed him. And then he talks about the iniquities that have taken hold upon him. So there are two things basically here that we see that is bringing him down so much. First, the problems, and there are many. And he feels those problems are so numerous that it's above his head. It's beyond his capacities to deal with those problems. And then he talks about his transgressions, his iniquities, his sins, his failures, as Brother Mitchell put it yesterday, last night, saying that sometimes, you know, we do things, we do the best of our understanding and knowledge, but in spite of that, you know, we're weak and foolish, but God has so chosen to, or decided to use us in spite of us. And so David was ashamed of himself on many occasions. Like David, we go through tough times, we suffer, we fail, we faint, and we cry to God to take away the pain because we hate to suffer. And the hardest thing of all is to not hear from God for a while. When he's silent, boy, that's tough. That's hard. We want, you know, continual evidence that God is still with us, that he has not departed from us. We want a sign from God. We want a circumstance that will make him be so real. But God says, it's not your comfort that I want. I want to develop your trust in me, your faith. So many things are out of our hands, out of our control. As preachers, we go through a lot of opposition, rejection, financial difficulties sometimes will be there, family problems, health struggles, and not just preachers go through that, but you have to deal with your own situations and then your people's situation. So it seems sometimes that you're just overwhelmed with the problems and the iniquities, which can be, you know, injustices done to you, or even your own sins will afflict you. Noah Webster says iniquities can be depravity or original want of holiness. We can suffer for not being as holy as God wished we would be, because he's a holy God and he wants us to be holy. And when we look at ourselves and all of our weaknesses, our shortcomings, you suffer for those things. You come before God, you're on your face, and you realize that there's so many things missing that you'd like to see in your life in order to be a better man, to be used of God, to help those people that are struggling in their lives. And yet, you're struggling even yourself. Psalms is so comforting to read. I see there that David in Psalm 31 talks about how he was failing in his strength because of all of what he was going through, those problems, those iniquities he could see in his life. He says in verse 9 of Psalm 31, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my ears with sighing." Sighing is like... You know, oftentimes my wife, you know, will hear that and say, what's wrong, honey? I'm just going, and God knew it. And he said, you know, when the Holy Spirit is going to express these things in words when you pray and you just sigh like that, God understands. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows why it's there. And sometimes it's hard to bring them out in words. But he says, "My ears with sighing, and my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors." He's forsaken by his own. Closest people to him don't necessarily understand him. "And a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without, they that see me without fled from me." And outlook at me, and they're shying away, they're staying away. And instead of feeling their comfort and comprehension and understanding, you're just kind of left to your own. And God allows that for a purpose also in our lives. He says, "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel." He was not important to anyone at that point. He says, "For I have the slander of many." I've heard the slander of many. "Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me to devise to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." In our text, verse 12 shows us how that his heart was failing him because of the problems, because of the iniquities. He says, "There are more than the hairs of mine head." But you know, when you go to the beginning of this psalm, you realize that David had some good beginnings. God has really established him and gave him something really to stand on, and then gave him a direction. He says in verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. God gave me attention. I called on the Lord. He answered my prayer. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He saved my soul. And he set my feet on a rock. He gave me a foundation to rest upon. And established my goings. He gave me a direction. Gave me a vision for my life. And he had put a new song in my mouth. God gave me a message, something to talk about. Had much to say about the Lord, of his salvation. Even praise unto God. Many shall see it. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He gave him a mission because he says, "You shall be a witness unto me in this world." And many will fear the Lord like you did and come to know Christ. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. We see he was overwhelmed. He says that the wonderful works of God, he says, "There are so many, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee." He says, "There are more than can be numbered." And boy, when you read the Psalms and you see what he wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, how comforting these are. "Sacrifice and offering that didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Faith only will please God." Do we have ears to hear what he saith? It's what it's all about, really. See, we like to see tangible things. We like to see proper circumstances. And you know, if it seems the door is open out there, then it's probably God's will for me to go and, you know, go in that direction. Maybe not be. That's sight. Faith cometh by hearing. Not earrings, hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Out of the Word of God, we ought to receive the guidance of God. But God, you know, Jesus said, when I come back, will I still be able to find some faith on the face of the earth? This is our days. Christianity today doesn't work by faith. It works by sight. We want circumstances. We pray for God to do things that we can see. And then we say, okay, now I have got the sign. And I'm not saying God's not going to every now and then give you a sign, but if you depend all your life on signs and never really depend on faith, it's not pleasing to God. You know, when you have a child, you carry him by the hand, you give him all the instructions every step of the way. That's normal. It's training. Could you imagine holding your child, 15-year-old, by the hand and still giving him every instruction along the way? You expect that, you know, around that age, they'll start to pick up on some of the things, right? Now imagine your 30-year-old child and you're carrying them by the hand. Wouldn't make much sense. They'd be embarrassed and you would be as well. You expect them to walk by faith. You've given them enough instructions growing up. If they'll stop and think a little bit on what they have received and just sit down and say, what would my dad do? What has he told me that I should remember in such a case as this? And then act upon that in the wisdom I received already. But we panic. We're afraid. You know, it seems that we don't have any baggage accumulated of knowledge, and we need to have some fresh revelation every step of the way. Doesn't work that way with God. So David says here in verse 8, I delight to do thy will. He obeys from the heart. Knows God's will and he's going to do it. That says, verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. He's not ashamed of the gospel that he preached. He preached the message that he received from God. But then, as he's doing his work, as he's serving the Lord, as he is just doing what God had called him to do, then these problems start to arise. And they gain in numbers. They overwhelm him more and more. And then he sees his own failures and weaknesses and iniquities. And he's so caught with that. Feels so unworthy to meet God's expectations. God says, you know, I've chosen you. I'm going to use you. In spite of you. You know, I look at David as he was enjoying serving his father in the fields as a shepherd, having a great relationship with God, praising God, writing songs, looking at the stars, being inspired, and he was just enjoying his life. But his life took a turn when Brother Sam came to anoint him and tell him that he would be the next pastor of Israel. He was experiencing great times of victory and his faith was solid. When he went to see the estate of his brothers, he saw that, you know, what was going on the battlefield. And when he saw it, he was burdened to see the lack of faith that these guys had. He wanted to get involved. And faith sometimes can almost sound like pride. Depends on who you brag about. David was so sure to kill that giant, he started to tell the stories of his past experiences, but even his brothers mocked him. Yeah, you killed a bear. Yeah, tell us about it. It's probably just a teddy bear you killed. Or that lion was just maybe a puppy lion. They were trying to discourage him from going forward for the Lord. He was fired up. In his mind, there was no way to fail. He was, you know, in our young Christianity, we're going forward. Man, there's nothing that's going to stop us. And God allows those things. He gave him some great victories all along in his youth, in his young time of ministry there. He'd been called. But then, you know, you see he's going to have some exalted times. He ran to that giant. There was no doubts in his mind. He was not of a doubtful mind. He had the faith that Jesus wished he had seen in his own apostles. You're of doubtful mind, he told them. So he ran to the giant and got his trophies. He was received in the king's court. He was enrolled in the work of the kingdom. He made friends there. He was even received in the family. But because of all his successes, envy and hatred started to arise against him. And then he had to flee and hide to save his life and be on the move all the time. Until he finally decided to go live in the enemy's camp and play dummy to save himself from more trouble. Could you imagine how it would affect his ego in a sense? Like he's bound to go live with the enemy on the enemy's ground instead of being on God's ground and serve him there. Well, God sends us as sheep to the wolves. And he had to be wise in the way to deal with them to spare his life. Now, why would God call him to pastor so early in his life and then give him so much exaltations and victories to then become very silent with him and let him face all that aggravation for so many years? I mean, he had quite a start. Like us, you know, you get saved, you get fired up, you're excited, you have wonderful victories in your life. Life is just sweet. Christian life is enjoyable. You're going forward. God calls you to the ministry. You see more victories. He's using you in a powerful way. You're just progressing. And then you go into the ministry for a while. And then God lets problems come through. And he shows you more of your iniquities that you didn't suspect were there, still having to deal with holiness. It's like God is saying, come a little closer. You'll hear that still small voice of mine. And you struggle all along because God is silent on many occasions. He was hiding in caves, running here and there, to and fro. He felt bad because in his fleeing away, people got killed because they were trying to help him. Then he finally became the pastor of Israel, and all he wanted to do is serve the Lord and build him a permanent house. More struggles came. He fell in sin. And he had family problems arise on him. He had a son that committed incest. Had another one that became a killer and then conspirator with his best counselor. Besides all the other stuff he had to deal with in his kingdom. He had to flee again and people start to curse him thinking he's been forsaken of God. He's just no good anymore. Good for him. Out of here, preacher. And the whole deal, lost a child. How aggravating that was for him. He knew his son for 40 years had tried to undermine his ministry. But he loved him anyways. And I think the thing that affected him the most is that he was not saved. On many occasions he begged for God's tender mercies, being so overwhelmed with his life. And at the same time, so confused as how to handle different situations that he was facing. Psalms 25. He talks about that. He says in verse 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lord, I'm looking for directions. Give me some direction here. I need a sign. I need confirmation. I want to see where I'm going. I'm confused. Show me something, Lord. Not sure of anything anymore. He's so unsure, so confused. He says in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. He's not sure if it's because of old sins that God may have wanted to chastise him for, or maybe the newer transgressions. He's wanted to reconfess everything again. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He's seeking a way out of his troubles. God will do that. He did it in the past. So he's expecting God to again show him something. Have you ever been there where you're kind of looking for God's direction? It seems that God is not answering that. Maybe he's answered it already, but you didn't get it. Maybe he just wants to, for you to lay on that foundation that he's well prepared you for. What was coming up? You just need to go back, remember, and go on. The meek will be, in verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He realizes that pride can be in the way. He's checking himself out. Is that because of pride? All the paths of the Lord, verse 10, are mercy and truth, and unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. He understands, I need to go on and do right. And if I continue to do what's right, maybe one day confusion is going to go away. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. He's confessing again. I mean, that's a good place to start. You confess your sins. You make sure your heart is clean before God, because he won't listen to one who is praying to him with an unclean heart. So we need to ask the Lord something hard sometimes. God, show me what I may not see. That's hard. You know, there are two ways to approach that. David approached it like he was looking at himself. He was watching. He was checking out his heart all the time. See if his heart was right with God. You look at Job's circumstance when he was going through those sufferings. He was overwhelmed. He was confused. And he started to justify himself. He wanted to justify every step of the way, everything he did. And his good friends pushed him in that direction, really. Until God said, you know, buddy, where were you when I made this and that? Were you my counselor? Who are you? Then he came to himself and realized, yeah, I've made a fool of myself trying to justify myself instead of just allowing God to fulfill his purpose. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Fear should bring obedience. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Only God can take me out of that mess. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. He's submerged with all of what he's going through. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Bring me out of my distresses, Lord. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Confession again. He's confessing his sins, confessing his sins, confessing his sins. Is that because of old sins, the sins of my youth? Is that my present transgressions? He wants to make sure he's got a clean heart before God. And I think that's good advice here. Consider mine enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Do right and keep your hope alive. Really, that's what he understood he ought to do. If God, for lack of direction, for lack of a new revelation from the Lord, For something to do. I'm not going to jump here or jump there or try this or try that. I'm going to just continue to do right and wait on the Lord. That's what we need to do when God is silent. It's not time to make wrong decisions and move out of God's will. That'd be even worse. Psalms 119:77, you don't need to turn there. He says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Stay in the Word is what we need to do. You stay in the Word. And stay in the work. Continue to do what God wants. Turn with me, please. Psalm 77. I mean, these psalms are really showing us how that David opened up his heart unto us by the inspiration of God, because God knew that you and I would go through things, similar situations like that. And he's allowing us to know where he found comfort. Where's the solution in all this where you're so down, so desperate, so distressed, so discouraged? You're waiting on God's mercies. He says, not David here, his song leader now, but he went through similar situations. That Psalm of Asaph, it says in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night, and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Could you imagine how taken he was to where he just can't say a thing? So overwhelmed. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Here's what was going through his mind. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he favorable no more? In his mercy, clean gone for, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious as he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. This is where I'm wrong. This is where I've got vain thinking. This is where I'm being misled. God's not like that. But he says, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. God has done many good things in my life. He's prepared me for this. I just want to see if I'll depend on Him. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You think about all of the blessings, all the victories, the wonders, the trophies you've accumulated. When you meditate on these things, you'll see God's promises. God never forsakes you, nor will leave you. You have to remember yourselves those things. You look at the works He's done in your lives, and then you talk about those things, and all of a sudden, you're starting to feel a little better again. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Where's the answer? He says, well, in the sanctuary. David said, in the Word of God, I'll find my delight. That'll preserve me. God's loving care, loving kindness and tender mercies will preserve me. His Word will preserve me. As it says, being in the sanctuary is going to preserve me. It's going to help me out. When you come to church and you hear that message, boy, it can change your whole countenance and perception anymore. And you're going out victorious again, ready to go. That's why we need those meetings. Have you ever felt discouraged? So discouraged as David here. Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Have you ever been to where nothing seemed to be working again? Nothing was doing right. Have you ever felt so guilty because of your sins? And thought, God's done with me. Have you ever felt like you need to move on and go elsewhere or just quit? Have you ever asked the Lord to take you home with Him? Just get me out of here, Lord. Enough of this sufferings. I'm done. David and so many others have felt that way. But you know what God's answer is to that? It's found in Hebrews 11. That's where it's found. In verse 13. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Amen. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. If you get your mind back on the world, on where you were before, how things were before, like the people that came out of Egypt did, you're in trouble. Don't look behind, look ahead. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city, the New Jerusalem. Boy, how rejoicing that will be. See, that's what faith ought to be doing. What are God's tender mercies to us, really? Preachers and church members. I think it's reminding us of His promises and His works. And if we will remind ourselves of the goodness of God and what He's done with us, we'll understand He's just trying to get us to mature a little bit. And not need an instruction every step of the way, but realize we've been well equipped to face this world by faith. and keep our eyes like Paul did. Run the race. Fight the good fight. Don't quit. Don't deviate. Just keep your eyes on the author of your faith. See how that he has finished his work and finished yours. It's what we need to do. David said, I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.